Last Sunday was pretty awesome, right? It was great. I want to personally thank all of you who were here and helped out with cleaning and feeding us and setting up and taking down tents and tables. You too, Ben. And the day was kind of a lot of work, but everybody got involved and it was a lot of fun. And I really believe that God, who we know is always here, of course, really made his presence known to us that day, whether it was through the welcoming of our two more people into his family through baptism, or the glorious weather we had for our cookout, or the way he smoothed over some communication glitches and old building issues. We have an old building, there are some issues, but God managed to smooth that over, and I want to hazard a guess that God had at least as much fun as we were having. Amen. I really think so, because he loves it when his people are together and delighting in him and delighting in each other. And we did, didn't we? We did. Which was extra appropriate because our sermon last week, if you were here and you'll remember, it wrapped all the way back around to where we started at the beginning of the year, which is the glory of God. And we know that the glory of God is the love of God. Last week we talked about love also being the final mark of the church, Christ's body, Christ's bride. And Barb gave us that excellent analogy of the chocolate chip cookie. If it doesn't have chocolate chips, it's not a chocolate chip cookie. Amen. If the church is not being transformed into the glory of God, which is the love of God, if the church does not have God's love, it's not the church. It's something, but it's not the church. So we talked about that love last week, about how in the end we will freely and perfectly exhibit the very love that Jesus showed us. And in the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit to help us move in that direction as we cooperate with him. So today we're starting a new series that is hopefully going to help all of us start to cooperate with him. It's called, like today's sermon itself, Listen and Other Forms of Communication. We'll just shorten it to Listen for the other weeks because that's going to take up our entire bulletin if we print it out every time, but you know the real title. So when it comes to loving, like we discussed last week, one of the best ways to love each other is to communicate well with each other. And when it comes to communication, one of the best ways to start is to really listen. Today will be something of an introduction to the series, and then the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking about listening mostly, and then the next 2 weeks we'll focus a little bit more on listening, and then after that we'll move on to discussing some other ways that we communicate and some other things that we might try to communicate and what are some good ways to do that. Because I knew this passage from James that David read for us earlier, I knew that I wanted to start with this passage from James, but as I tried to map out the rest of the series this week, I discovered that even though James is famous for some other themes in his short little book, his book also actually has an awful lot to say about communication. Which means that we are most likely gonna end up going through almost the whole book by the end of this series, but not in the order he wrote it. That's not because the order that he wrote it in wasn't inspired or there's something wrong with it. It is obviously inspired. But if we put things in a slightly different order just for this series, we can roughly follow the qualities that the Apostle Paul listed out in our passage from last week, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude. All of those things, we can actually kind of follow those if we reorder James a little bit. So this week and the next two, we will see that listening has a lot to do with being patient and kind. That's the beginning of that list. I admit, I thought this series was going to have a lot more how-tos about communication, a lot more principles of communication, but every time I try to adjust my outline to incorporate that kind of approach, I keep bouncing back to James, it's like I feel like God has me on some kind of bungee cord, and I keep saying, well, there's other passages, though, and then it's like, whap, I'm back there. So I think I better listen, maybe. So that does mean we may need to take a family dinner Sunday or something and have a little bit of a workshop on communication just to get some of those principles in. But I think that I'm going to learn a lot, I think, because this is already not going where I was expecting. I think we will all learn a lot together. So I guess what I'm saying is stay tuned. We'll see how this unfolds. It could be exciting. For today, let's take our Bibles again and turn back to the passage we read at the beginning, James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. And I don't have it in front of me, so I forget what page it's on.
854.
Thank you. And when we are all there, oops. Let's read verse 19 aloud together. Ready? My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We'll get there. Think about this for a minute. In one short clause, James has basically given us the key to good communication. First, you listen. That's the first thing. Speaking, however, is optional. Did you notice that? He's saying, listen, definitely listen. Make sure listening is your default. Be quick to listen, but be slow to speak. After you've really listened, you may not feel the need to speak. Or the thing you were going to speak may be different than what you thought at the beginning when the other person started talking. Or you may decide, I have something relevant to say here, but this is not the time or place. It's not the wise thing to do. Later we'll talk more about deciding how and when to say what needs to be said. But when we do it the other way around, when we are quick to speak and slow to listen, what often follows? Anger. So even though it doesn't say slower, I think we could argue that James is kind of implying if we're slow to speak, we should be even slower to become angry. Because why? Now we can read verse 20. Because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Okay, question time. How many people, we can try a show of hands here, would say that verse 19, everybody must be, or should be, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How many people would say that describes the way that you conduct the majority of your interactions with people? Yep, you might notice my hand's not going up either. We might want to protest. Okay, so we don't do it quite like that, but we're not always angry all the time. Anger isn't always part of our interactions, so like, come on, Pastor, don't put that on me. And that's probably accurate, but I'm going to hazard a guess that most of us, if we're honest, are more likely to default to talking first and then listening second if we get around to it. And if we're talking about what happens on social media, it seems like most of the rest of the world does their interactions by finding something to get angry at, yelling about it, and never listening at all. It's the complete opposite order of this verse. But some of us do get told that we're good listeners from time to time, right? Some of us do. We can try a different show of hands. How many people have had at more than one person tell them that they were good listeners? Okay, that is awesome. It is really wonderful when people can find somebody that they feel like they can trust, who will hear what they have to say, that they can say, yeah, you can say what you have to say. that they can say things to that maybe they wouldn't say to most other people, right? I've had people tell me that before. Jen, you're such a good listener. I've had people tell me that actually since I was a teenager. People have just kind of been routinely spilling their guts to me for most of my life. And they have told me over and over again, you are such a good listener. And so I believed them because they were continually spilling their guts to me. So I thought, I must be a good listener. So I believed them so much that when I came back to the US from London, after working with Barb for 6 months at Old Sturbridge Village, this is why I'm here, you guys. I went to Denver Seminary. I moved all the way out to Colorado, went to Denver Seminary to get a master's degree in counseling. And then I quit. I went for 2 semesters, and there were a whole bunch of reasons why I quit that program at that time. But I am pretty sure now, in hindsight, I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons that I was not even aware of at the time was that I was not actually ready to learn to be a good listener, because I already thought I was one. And so I didn't want to learn how to be a better one, how to be an actually good one. There was some ability there. People did sense something in me, and they did sense that they were able to talk to me, and they were tapping into me, into that, whatever that thing was that I had. But in truth, that something needed to be honed, kind of like a spiritual gift. And I can't speak for the rest of you who've been told that you're good listeners, but I can tell you that when I look back now at former Jen, I can tell you I was not really a good listener. I really wasn't. Even though I thought I was, and other people thought I was and told me I was too. It was actually not until May of 2015, which is not that long ago, when I started 2 different training courses at the same time for 2 different listening professions, chaplaincy and spiritual direction, that I realized just how bad of a listener I really was. And the more I learned some basic principles of listening, the more I realized most other people are pretty bad at it too. Because listening is not our natural human default. We are not quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We just aren't. That's just not how we work. Our default is the other way around, and so every single one of us has something to learn about communication in general and godly listening in particular. Ironically then, since this is a sermon about listening, I'm going to actually ask for a little bit more feedback than I usually do. So I wonder if you can help me brainstorm some reasons that it is hard to listen. Because you're thinking about what you want to say. That's a big one. That is a big one. Distractions of the world, okay.
The value of what the people are thinking of, what they're talking about.
What do you mean? You don't think...
No, sometimes they talk about God.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it's that important.
Yeah.
Okay.
We already have our preconceived opinions.
Right, we already have our preconceived opinions. Yeah, thank you for being honest. Yes, sometimes we just don't care. Brian, you got something?
I've been to God. I've shined to God. And you can talk for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There's actually... That's not totally irrelevant. There are, as we've said, a number of barriers to good listening. Sometimes, like Barbara said, we already are planning ahead what we want to say They say something and we connect with it a little bit and we just go, our brains are already somewhere else down there because we have this great comeback or we have this great advice. Yeah.
What was he? People don't have the patience.
Yes.
That's what he was trying to say.
Thank you, Brian. That's okay. Thank you, Pam. Sometimes people don't have the patience to listen. And if that's what you felt like I just did right now, I apologize. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I really should just forget about it. Let's go ahead.
It's hard though, because sometimes we have responsibilities, right? And somebody's trying to talk to us, and we think, oh my word, I have this timeline and I have this thing going on, and I don't know how I'm going to do all of these things, and this person is going to suck up my whole day, and so I got to go do my thing. There's a whole lot of reasons. Sometimes, too, we don't listen because Rand kind of touched on this. We already have our own opinions. We already think we know we don't agree with that person. And we either are afraid that they're going to convince us differently, or we know they're not, and we just don't like their opinion, and we don't want to hear what it is. We don't want to find out if they might have some good reasons. We just don't want to know. One time, I actually did a workshop on listening at a conference. This was a couple years ago. And I asked the same question, excuse me, and a participant said, I can't listen when I don't trust the person.
Amen.
Really profound. She was right. If you have a reason to believe that the other person does not have your good or your group's good at heart, or if you think they're going to say something hurtful to you, or if you don't believe they are truthful to begin with, it's really hard to give them the time and listen. And sometimes, and we can talk about this kind of in the abstract, but it's even harder sometimes when it's people in our own family. Because sometimes it's just familiarity. I know this person, I see this person all the time, they have the same problems, they have the same habits or annoying issues, things that drive me crazy, and I've heard this all before, and so I want to feel heard. When is it my turn to say something? When do I? With TSA this past week, and I have another week coming up, and there's a whole bunch of us in the group, and there was this one woman there, and she's super nice, but when we had free time and we were talking, she would start talking, and I'm like, well, we're having a conversation. She wasn't saying anything, we were just chatting. But every time I tried to say something to relate, she would just keep talking right over me. And I finally kind of shut down. I was like, I don't even know what she's talking about anymore, because she's not stopping to breathe or hear what I have to say. I don't think I'm even in this conversation. I think there's just a monologue going on over here, and I happen to be listening to it. That is hard, hard to do that. Sometimes we are really good advice givers, or we think we are, and we want to give people advice. Sometimes it's hard to listen to other people's problems. It makes us uncomfortable. And so in order to stop feeling uncomfortable ourselves, we will give them advice, or we will try to cheer them up. And this doesn't always work so well. Sometimes we think that listening means agreeing. Guess what? You can really listen to someone that you disagree with. And it does not mean that you have to agree with them. You can just listen to them, and you can know, no, I don't really agree, but I am going to respect this person by hearing what they have to say. And there's one other one, different communication styles. Sometimes someone is saying something and they're used, but the way that they communicate is so different from the way that we communicate. We might think we understand what they're saying, and then we'll say something back and they'll be like, what? And we'll realize, I have no idea what this person's talking about. And the last one, sometimes we don't listen well because we are relating so strongly to what the other person is saying, it stops being about them and starts being about us. So let me clarify something about this last point. This was my default. This was my good listening default. I always thought if people were telling me a story about something they were trying to feel real to them or authentic, I would have to come up with something that was kind of like what they were talking about, and then I could be like, yeah, you know, I struggle with something similar, and then I would tell them my story. But here's the thing that happens when you do that. It's not about their story anymore. I wasn't part of the interaction, but I saw this happen where the person who was originally talking completely shut down because someone said, oh yeah, I had that same experience too. Clarify something about that last point. I tell lots of stories up here about myself, and it's not because I'm trying to make these sermons all about myself, it's because I know my story is the best, and if someone's gonna look stupid, I'd rather it be me than somebody else. So I'm happy to tell stories about myself, and if I'm, while I'm telling one, it reminds you of one of your experiences, that's actually great. Because the point of these messages is not me or my stories, it's the message. And so if you come up to me afterwards and you say, oh, when you told this story, it made me think of this thing in my life, to me, I get that you were listening. The dynamic I'm talking about is when you're in a one-to-one interaction and someone's sharing something that's personally painful to them, and we remember our personal pain while they're talking and suddenly make the conversation about ourselves instead of them. So there's a whole lot of things that make it hard to be a good listener. And I'm still learning to be a good listener, clearly, as we already saw this morning. I still do all of these things sometimes. But I'm getting better at noticing myself, getting ready to do one of them, and at practicing self-control. I am not perfect at it. The church is not perfect. Nobody here is. We're all works of grace, and we're all moving in grace, and we all need to extend each other grace. But my point is that all of us, whether we're known as good listeners or not, have a lot to learn about listening. And all of us, whether we're known as good listeners or not, can learn to listen well, because listening is not one of the spiritual gifts. But we need God's help to do it. And it's something that James is saying all Christians should do. And so therefore, all Christians with God's help can learn to do it. There's something else that James is showing us about listening in this passage, though, and that is not passive. James is most well known for taking the concept of faith and giving it legs, as it were. He's the one that wrote, "Faith without works is dead," and we'll talk about that in this series, too. So we shouldn't be surprised that when he talks about listening, he talks about it as if it's very active. James was kind of an activist. So, first of all, as we already saw, the kind of listening that he's advocating, as opposed to the kinds that we've just got done talking about, takes loads of self-control. Which, if you've ever tried to exercise self-control, you know that even if no one outside of you can see, it takes a lot of effort to exercise self-control. Real love-born listening is an action, even if it looks like you are sitting completely still. Second, at least in this passage right here, James seems to be linking the act of listening with our stance toward God, even more than with our stance toward each other. That implies that proper listening will cause us to live in the loving way of God. That idea that listening well to God and then to people in order to act is really contrary to how our society works and how we as individuals often work. We assume that if people aren't strongly and decisively airing their opinions on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and also, say, among their benighted family members at Thanksgiving or something like that, they must not have any convictions. I don't know what they believe about this thing, so they must not believe it. They must not have any any strong opinions or any strong ideas. We think, or we act like we think, we have to keep shouting so that maybe finally somebody on the other side of this issue will change their mind, they'll see the light, they'll become just as righteous and awesome and enlightened as we are. We do this in a smaller, less political context too. For example, in our families, when someone does that one thing that they always do that drives us completely nuts, we get angry, and then they hear about it or they don't hear about it. Sometimes we don't talk to people. Both of those things are can be an expression of anger. But James says human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. He seems to be implying that while there's such a thing as righteous anger, human anger is not it. Our anger is not going to create righteousness, either in ourselves or in our church or in the world around us. So in verse 21, he says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you that can save your souls." It's almost as if he's connecting human anger with the moral filth and the evil that surrounds us. And even if he isn't, he's certainly calling us to clean up our own mess, not other people's, by humbly accepting the word of God that is, as he said, already planted in us. That is what is going to save our souls and maybe theirs too. Not speaking out, not getting angry, but listening to and humbly accepting God's word doesn't mean keeping your head down, sitting around doing nothing and not getting involved either. Right after he tells us to be quick to listen and to get rid of our own evil and humbly accept God's word, James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. We can be religious. We can come to church and listen to those awesome sermons, and have some nice coffee and conversation downstairs. And if we do all that and we think we're all set, we are deceiving ourselves. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Then James gives a funny analogy that Barb picked up on today about some dude who somehow looks at himself in the mirror and sees everything that he needs to adjust about himself. That's what God's word is supposed to do for us, by the way. It's supposed to be a mirror so we can see what needs to be adjusted. And then he walks off and he doesn't zip his spiritual fly or take the spiritual broccoli florette out of his teeth or something like that. James is really concerned about the members of the body of Christ deceiving themselves or not deceiving themselves. He doesn't want us to. And I guess the reason he's so concerned is because it happens so easily. We are really good at thinking that we are all set because we come to church every Sunday, or we give to the food bank, or we do, there's lots of things that we could say we are okay. But he says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Yikes. Listening involves not only the self-control to pay attention to what God through his word is saying, but to what other people are saying. And it also involves the reining in of our mouths. We'll talk about that more in a couple of weeks. But we deceive ourselves when we only listen and don't act. We also deceive ourselves when we are brashly outspoken about what God is telling us to do and we're not doing it. This is the whole point, I think, today, and the point in James' passage, so I'm going to say it again. We deceive ourselves when we only listen and don't act. We also deceive ourselves when we don't listen and we are brashly, even angrily, outspoken about what we think God is telling us to do and we don't do it. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, James says, to look after orphans and widows in distress, that's justice, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, that's holiness. About a month ago, we summed up the gospel that way, right? Truth, holiness, and justice. All of those things are inextricably part of the gospel. If you're missing one, it's not the gospel. So good communication is the key. It unlocks the truth from which holiness and justice must follow. It unlocks our ability to express the love of God, and James just proved it. When we listen well to God and our neighbor, we will be loving gospel people, living lives of both holiness and justice in the love of God. It all goes together, always. So next week, we'll talk a little more about listening to God, and the week after that, we'll talk a little more about listening to each other, and then we'll talk about how we love each other in Jesus' name through our speech and our actions as Jesus, the Word of God, loves us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of grace, and we know that you want us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But that is not our default. That is not my default. And so, Lord, we pray that you will be with each one of us this week, that you will help us to practice this principle, this key that unlocks our ability to live in the love that you have for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn. Oh Jesus, I have promised. It's on page 458.